Well, brethren, you know, as men and women in the Church of God, we have a very unique relationship that has been bestowed upon us. You and I have been called into a relationship that is above and beyond what most people experience in the physical world in which we live. What they experience is an interface with other human beings, of which we also interface with other human beings, because we were made to interact with one another as human beings. That is part of God's plan and His purpose. We were not made to be alone. We were made to interface with others, male and female, so that we might develop the type of character that God is looking for His divine family, of which you and I have been called to be first fruits in this marvelous plan that God has orchestrated from the very beginning. And step by step, it is being executed just as God has ordained it to be. And you and I, in our day and age, have been called to witness the truth of God, the way of God, in our lifetime to everyone we come in contact with as men and women, and young and old. Because what we are blessed to have is something that the Bible uses the term a pearl of great price. When you understand what it is, and when you grasp and comprehend the full meaning of what Jesus says as he uses those parables when he spoke to the masses, is that nothing else can compare to what has been placed in our hands. And it is something that the enemy, Satan the devil, does not want us to ever find fulfillment in. He would like to destroy the hopes and the dreams of the people of God. If he can destroy your hope, if he can take away your understanding of the Word of God and what God has purpose for you as an individual. Remember, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. There's a place being prepared for each of us. God is not off somewhere missing what's happening here on planet Earth. He's very, very much aware of how the enemy is working, and he's very, very much concerned about our welfare in these end times. There's something that God wants us to recognize in our spiritual development, and that is this, that we were called not only to interface, we were called to be more than what most people think when they use this term. God has called us to be His friends. Not only friends now, but for friends for all eternity, and friends with one another. Abraham, the father of the faithful, was called the individual. He was a individual who was so well pleased in God's eyes, he was called a friend of God. James 2:23 references that. And so we're going to talk about this today, the value of true friends, because today it's difficult to really find true friends. We live in a world in which there's a lot of counterfeit elements involved. People call people their friends, but do we really understand what is a genuine friend as opposed to a fake friend? We got fake news and we've got fake friends out there. People who masquerade as your friend, but they will sock it to you and give it to you in the back because they're not genuine friends. They're only friends because they have ulterior motives. Our motive must be clean and upright as we look to God for guidance and help in our calling. And so God wants us to be legitimate friends, just as Jesus himself used the example. He says, I don't call you servants. The servants don't understand what the master does. I call you friends because I've told you everything. I've given you insight at this time. Just like Jesus' own disciples asked the question. They said, well, Master, why do you talk to them in parables? And the answer, he said, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of God. To them it is not given, meaning at that time. Their time is later, our time is now. And God expects us to act accordingly because it is something that is not to be neglected. It is not to be just put on the back burner. It is something to overwhelm your everyday life with a reality that your number one relationship is to become a friend of God, a friend of Jesus Christ. We have a song called What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and boy, what a friend he is when you understand the price he paid for all of our salvation and the sins of all mankind when it is their time. But right now, what God wants us to do is to understand that we have an internal friendship that must be developed within the church of the living God that is reflected in the term the love of the brethren. The love of the brethren means that you have a spiritual friendship with brothers and sisters in Christ because they're on the same page and the same calling and mission that you have been given. And so you show love and respect to them because you know they're battling the same thing you're battling. And it's a calling, as we heard in the sermonette message today. Now, there's an expression that has been around for years. It goes like this. You may have grown up hearing this, where it says, you can tell much about a person by the friends he keeps. And oh boy, is there a lot of truth in that. The people that you run with, the people that you hang with, or chill out with, as they like to use the term today, and it doesn't mean it's all wrong, but it means there's something there you've got to be extremely careful about. Because sometimes a person might say, well, I'm my own person. I don't follow anybody else. I'm my own person. But what happens is that as we grow up in a family, and we've all grown up in families, and they're not perfect, those families are ideally pictured in the scripture what they should be, but none of us have had the perfect families in which to grow up in. There's always been problems and difficulties in families. And in some cases, what's sad is that in those families, those family members are not friends. And that's sad because that's where friendship should be clearly demonstrated. Friendship between husband and wife, and parents and children, neighbors and friends. In other words, we have a responsibility as ambassadors for Christ to teach people what true friendship is all about and how to have true friends. Now, the value of this is what is so important, and that's what we're going to focus on in the rest of this message. Because, you see, once a person comes into this world, you start out at the very beginning. And as we witness, even within our own congregation, we see the little ones growing up, and what do? They seek out other little ones like themselves to be their friends. Everyone wants to have friends. Life is terrible if you don't have friends. He gave us the purpose in the very beginning that man should not be alone. So God created womankind, so that they could be close and develop a friendship within the realm of marriage. And then that demonstration should be passed on to the children. But as children grow up, they're now moving into their teenage years, and what happens? They're exposed to a new group of individuals, not mom and dad anymore, or family siblings. And as they are exposed to those individuals, guess what? They're looking for friends. And so they seek out friends in their own realm because, again, they're developing and moving into young adulthood. And as they move out, what happens? They are exposed through their friends to many, many different things. Remember, life is a learning process. And Romans 15:4 makes it very clear that everything that is written in the Word of God is designed to teach us and help us in the learning process of how people interact and develop in their own personal lives. So you will see stories where people have become dysfunctional, have lost their ability to demonstrate friendship, and you will see these examples given, and they are quite frightening when you think about the seriousness of it. For example, you can come and see an example of King Saul. King Saul was destined to be the king of Israel in the Old Testament, but something happened to him because he didn't follow a very important principle that the Word of God teaches that we all have to learn in life. We have to develop patience, because patience is necessary in order to do the will of God. And when the example of King Saul was given, what happened? We saw that King Saul was waiting for Samuel to return before a sacrifice could be given, according to the scripture. He got impatient. He didn't want to wait. And so he took it upon himself to make a sacrifice. And when he did that, he justified himself by saying, well, in essence, paraphrasing it, you weren't here, and I just had to do this for the sake of the people. And Samuel was very upset. He says, you haven't fulfilled the will of God. So in essence, what Saul was doing, he was not demonstrating that he was a friend of God. Because when Adam walked in the garden, he was a friend of God in the beginning stages. After sin took place, he was hiding from God. Now Saul, who had this marvelous kingdom set before him, what happened? He got impatient and he didn't wait on the word of God as Samuel had instructed. He justified himself for what he did. And Samuel said, oh no, Saul, what have you done? And because of what you have done, you have no longer the kingdom. You've lost your chance just because you got impatient and didn't wait on what God had said to do. And this was before David ever became anointed to become the king and ultimately the king of Israel. David was a man after God's own heart later, but he had a dysfunctional family. He had problems and difficulties. What we learn here is that Abraham became a friend of God because he believed God. And he waited and followed everything up to a certain point until a problem developed. He got a little impatient too, didn't he? He was up in years and he still hadn't had that child that God had promised. So his beloved wife said, why don't you take Hagar and let's see if we can fulfill that promise that way. And that, unfortunately, has set in motion a problem that is with us to the day in the Middle East. It won't be corrected until Christ returns. So what we have here now is the fact that God gives us the importance of this relationship because it is what is going to sustain us in the family of God in eternity. God is not rearing sons and daughters to be angry with one another, to speak bad about one another, to try to compete with one another. He wants them to love one another. As Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that is so important to God because his kingdom is based on love, and just pouring out love upon all his creation. And as we heard in the sermonette message, apart from God, we can do nothing. We only think we can, but really, our hands are really tied. We're very limited in what we can do. It is God who can do all things, and it is God who will bring us into the kingdom of God. Now, the value of a true friend is one who relies on the Word of God. That's very important, that we rely on the Word of God, because as human beings, we tend to rely on our own perspective. You see, if you're a young person now growing up in your teenage years, what happens? You're out there running with your young folks out there, and that's fine and good. Everybody grows up in the process. But as we'll see, you can run into problems. Why? Because your friends have an impact upon you. If parents don't do what they're supposed to do, bring children up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of God while they're young, by the time they get older, they run into other things that distort their wisdom and understanding and comprehension of what life is all about. Because they'll hear this voice saying this and that voice saying this, and everybody have their own ideas about this, that, and what have you, and yet nobody seems to really understand what the voice of God is all about. It is the voice of life. Remember, Jesus said, John 6:63, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They actually are the underpinning of the physical life and the hope of eternal life for all of us. Now, what I'd like to emphasize here is that the Word of God has given valuable information to help us on this subject. We were made to be friends with one another. And yet look at the world in which we live today. Look at nations, how they are against one another, how different races are against one another. Listen to the false propaganda that constantly stirs up hornets' nests and makes life miserable for so many people. Terrible things are happening each and every day. We hear it on the news. It's another admonition to pray, thy kingdom come, when better days will arrive. Now, the Bible gives us this important emphasis again on the value of true friends. And so let's ask ourselves that, are we a true friend of God? That's an important question we have to ask. Because he's looking at us and he's evaluating us each and every day. Every day he gives us the gift of life. He wants to see, are you going to adhere to what I say and follow my ways, or are you going to lead to your own understanding and execute things based on how you see it? You see, it says, blessed is the man that waits on the Lord for his guidance and his help. Now, we see examples of these things, a couple examples of true friendship that were recorded in the Bible. I'm just going to hit these highlight points to give you the overview of this important topic. And then again, I want us to stop and think as we approach the Passover season. Because again, we don't go through just the form and ceremony of these things. It is a very personal thing. And if you were to look into the eyes of the flame of fire of Jesus Christ as it speaks in Revelation chapter 1, you definitely want to be a friend of God. You don't want to be his enemy. Enemies will not survive. And that's not a threat. That's just the plain, simple truth of the Word of God. He says, enemies will one day be ashes under the feet of the righteous, but those that listen to me and want to be my friend, I will raise them from dust to divinity, and they will shine like the stars in the heavens above. It's one of the most marvelous and great encouraging things that the Scriptures talk about, so that you and I never lose perspective, because you can drown in all this sorrow that you hear every day. An individual, a young lady captured for 88 days, parents killed, and this individual grabbing her and kidnapping her, murdering her parents. Terrible, terrible things. This is why we pray, thy kingdom come. That was not a demonstration of love. Obviously, these things just show again the evil that is being in this world in which we live. No, we have an example in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1. Jonathan and David. Jonathan was the royal prince, Saul's son, and David, of course, had just killed Goliath, and they had developed a wonderful relationship. And what ended up happening? Saul got jealous of David. You know the story. But David and Jonathan even though David now becomes the anointed future king of Israel, that doesn't stop Jonathan from having this personal warm relationship with David. They really connected with one another. And that's important to keep in mind, that there are situations where men enjoy having good, wholesome male relationships with one another. Not anything weird, crazy, or off color like we have in this world today, but real respect and love and appreciation for one another. David appreciated Jonathan. Jonathan appreciated David. And they were together. On the side for the ladies, we have another example. Ladies also have close personal relationships that are very important and must be close friends. We have the example of Ruth and Naomi, and that's in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth 1 and verse 16. And it shows, again, an affinity and a love and a respect for one another in order to take care of the situation that those ladies were facing at that time. They were true friends in terms of one another. And these are individuals that God was working with in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. A true friend is pictured in the Scriptures as being permanent, not to be discarded. You see, we live in a world today of what is called fair weather friends. God is not a fair weather friend. He's not with you today and throws you to the wind tomorrow. We have on modern day Facebook, I believe there's something on there that if you like something, you friend me, don't you? And if you friend me on that, people say, oh, I've got lots of friends. How do you know? Well, Facebook told me so. Well, I'm sorry, that is just a terminology. That would better be it's defined as acquaintances. You have 100 or 1,000 acquaintances that agree with you on that and they friended you. But they are not your friend. You don't even know what they look like. You've never heard them before. You've never sat down with them eyeball to eyeball, had some real talk and discussion with them. A friend who is permanent is one you can sit down, talk with about everything. And you know, people today can't find those kind of people. They can't find people they can just sit down with and talk about everything. Not that people are going to judge you or you know, condemn you for that. They just, you know, they'll tell you exactly what's in their mind and heart. And that's a true friend. That's what God did when Jesus, he spoke, isn't it? You are my friends, and I call you my friends. You're not servants. And so in the same way, we're all hungering and thirsting for genuine friends. And here's where it is found, in the church of God, because you and I are bound together through the power of God's Spirit. And even though we come from all different walks of life and background, we are bound together through the calling that God has given us. And that calling does what? It illuminates our mind and tells us who we are, why we are, where we're going, what's going to happen, who's in charge, and how it's all going to work out. And if we stay the course as God has commanded and endure to the end, there's a crown of righteousness, a place for us in the kingdom of God, and an eternity that is before us that you cannot even begin to fully comprehend. We only see small little glimpses of it, like the Apostle Paul said. He says, it cannot be compared to the things, the ups and downs we go through in this world. That's a phenomenal picture given to us. Well, no wonder if we were to use the term, if you were the devil, you would not want people to understand that. You would want to destroy their friendships. You would want them to be suspicious of one another. You would want them, they can't trust one another. Don't trust anyone. And this is what you hear being fed to you all the time, whether it be in magazines, whether it be in movies, whether it be in TV. It's always being pumped into your head, and it can have an influence in your mind and affect your ability to have genuine friendship. Only when you reach out to the things of God can you override that influence. And you have to search for it. You've got to ask God in your prayers for it, because it doesn't come naturally. And in so doing, you're going to have all kinds of ups and downs dealing with other people. No, your friendship has to last through difficulties. Let's go to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs 17, 17. In Proverbs chapter 17, 17, we have this admonition. These are just basic scriptures to be reminded of, because unless we take our time to do that, we forget how this impacts on all of our lives. 17, 17. A friend loves at all times, not just sometimes, but at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In other words, when you're going through a trial and a problem, this individual, be it male or female, is someone you can go to and know that they will understand where you're coming from and what you're going through. And they will not dismiss you, because you're their friend. How often do you see the importance of having friends? We need them. Life is empty without friends. You can't enjoy anything unless you share it with friends. You enjoy getting together for occasions with friends. The Sabbath is God's calling to gather us together that we might have fellowship as friends of God and friends with one another. This is so what you would call basic in one way, and yet so profound in another. When you keep that concept in mind, you begin to realize how God wants us to perform. Chapter 18 of Proverbs. Go to chapter 18 and verse 24. And you see Proverbs 18, verse 24. It says, a man that has friends, that's well as a woman, a man or a woman that has friends, must show. You have to execute something here on your behalf. You must show yourself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In some cases, those who are called in the spiritual calling of God have a family connection spiritually that overrides even physical families in which people are born into. It's amazing how it comes, because some people, and it is sad when you hear people that are not even happy with their own families, when they always find something to gripe about, something to aggravate or complain about. God is not pleased with that. And that's where we're all being evaluated. Because who are we? Who are we to complain and argue and fuss and fight over such things when God says, put it aside, stop playing into the hands of the devil, and let God work in and through you to accomplish his will and his purpose. And he says his purpose is that you be friends with one another and love one another as I have loved you. And this distinguishing mark is on you as you practice it. And when you don't practice it, you revert right back to the world. There's no difference. You're just like everybody else out in the world. So where do you want to be? Do you want to be by the world and the way it's going, the broad way? Or do you want to be where God is? And he says, all you have to do is follow my lead. He's mentoring all of us. And so a true friendship is one that lasts through difficulties. And do we not all go through difficulties? Yes. And we all go through difficulties that teach us how to have compassion for one another, how to pray for one another. Because if we don't, we're missing the picture. The example of God is one that is, again, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Let's go to the book of Joshua real quick. Book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Now God is talking to Joshua now, who is the new leader of the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. Moses was no longer there. The mantle now fell on the shoulders of Joshua. And God is giving him encouragement. He says, now there shall not be any man able to stand before you. He says, all the days of your life. He says, and as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Now, God is not a respecter of persons. He's promised that he will not fail us and he will not leave us without the help and the direction that only he can supply. Now, Moses was one of the leaders of the Old Testament covenant of Israel. Joshua followed. You and I are leaders and setting the pace under the new covenant, and we are promised by God. He will be with us, and he will do what? He will not forsake us in our calling, because we can't deliver it without his help. And therefore, verse 6, you and I are encouraged, be strong and of good courage. He says, for unto this people shall you do what? Divide for an inheritance, which I swore unto your fathers to give them. So here again, you and I are going to be involved in something when the kingdom of God is established, and it's going to have a wonderful opportunity whereby we will interface with people and have to teach them their purpose in life, who they are, what they are, why they're, why the nations are like they are. And they will have to learn to love one another in a way that they do not do today. You and I, as Passover approaches, have got to think about this subject very deeply. Because you see, we can't pick and choose. You can't look and say, well, I like this part of the group, but I don't like that part of the group. It doesn't work that way. You're either part of God's group or you're not part of God's group. Where do you want to be? Jesus never lost sight of the vision for why he was there. He commands us to do the same. If we lose sight of the vision for which we were called, why are we going through all this? Why is this knowledge given to us? Knowledge is of no good unless it's put to use. And if we're not putting it to use, where does that leave us? We're hanging in the wind, folks. We've got no place to go, no future. But if your dream is going to come to true, it's like Reba McEntire in her little advertisement for the Air Force. If your dream is going to come to true, you got to first have a dream. And our dream is the kingdom of God, which Jesus said is going to come to this earth. And God is going to fulfill that in and through us if we are faithful and true to him. Why? Because we will be friends of God. You know deep down in your heart, you want everyone to be your friend. But you know deep down in your heart, not everyone in this world is your friend. There are many enemies out there. People who are just the opposite of everything we're talking about. And you and I have to make a very important understanding that friends are mutually beneficial. True friends are mutually beneficial. You see, iron sharpens iron. When we're exposed to one another, we benefit from one another. Why? Because God's working through each and every one of us, and by bringing us all together and making a spiritual composite, a family, which we call our congregation here, we do what? We come to church to worship our God, we come to worship Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we come to fellowship with one another. Why? Because we're friends. We're friends. You have to let that really sink in. how important it is for friends. When a child is going to school, the first thing he does, he's apprehensive when he goes to school. He doesn't know what to do. But as soon as he finds one or two friends in school, he's all right, ready to go back to school. He's because he found a friend. Then as you see, growing up again, getting into later years of life, what happens? Well, so-and-so, he is my best friend, or she is my best friend. Then they have a little spat. Something doesn't work right. They're not my best friend anymore. I don't like them anymore. I hate them anymore. And then the next thing that turns around, what? The next day, they make resolution. They solve their problem, whatever it is. Oh, he's my best friend again. Notice, my best friend. Who is our best friend, dear brethren? It's Jesus Christ. Without him, you and I, friendship wouldn't mean anything. Nothing would mean anything. Because we have the best friend you could possibly have in the Son of God. That makes us siblings in a family. We're all siblings, children of God. And God says, I want my kids to love one another. I'm not going to put them in my family and in the kingdom of God, and they're always suspicious of one another, trying to undermine one another, speaking evil of one another. That's what's in this world, and we know where it comes from. So when it shows up in our lives, we have to repent of it because it does rub off. Remember, this is only the Sabbath, one day in the week. 6 days you're in the world. And the world has a way of impacting on who your friends are. And the Bible has much to say about that. Again, friends help each other. They're always there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And so we're here to help one another grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our greatest friend, as we've already stated, is Jesus himself, who was not thinking of himself when he walked this earth, but he was doing what? He laid down his life for his friends. John chapter 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13. He was thinking about us. If I don't go through with this, they're all gone. And don't think he doesn't know who we were. He knew Noah and all the other saints and all the ones in the Old Testament. None of them would have a chance. If he did not fulfill his mission with the Father to become our Savior, you and I would have no purpose in life. We'd all sinned and come short of the glory of God, so God had to put us back on track again through his own beloved Son. That's why the Passover means so much to us, because we see it as a personal thing. Without the Son of God, there is no hope. But when Jesus is willing to reach out and say, follow me, and I will be your friend, you too can become a friend of God, because God will forgive you your sins. And that's what the wonderful joy of the Passover season is all about. That you don't have to sit around worrying about all the things you did wrong. That God will blot that all out. Because he wants to. Why? Because he hates you? No, because he loves you and he wants you as a friend. Nobody wants enemies around them. They want friends around them. And so God has called us. He says, by following what Christ has given us to have friends, you've got to be a friend. Now, it's very important that you'd never leave your friends behind. Proverbs 27 and verse 10. Let's go to Proverbs 27 and verse 10. Proverbs 27 and verse 10. It talks about your own friend, your father's friend, and forsake not neither your brother's house when there is a calamity. For better is a neighbor that is close than one that is far off. You can't impact and have those who are your friends at a far distance. You need to have them as close as your neighbor next door. So you need to be close to your neighbors. You know, today people are so cocooned, they don't even know who their neighbors are. Kind of sad. People all living in their own homes, and yet nobody knows. They have maybe a general idea who's across the street, but they never sit down and talk with one another. And sometimes when they do talk in this world, all they do is gossip about one another and what's going on in the neighborhood. It's not a matter of really getting to know and be there for one another. No, friendship grows when you lean on one another for help. And we all have a need for help from time to time. We have to lean on one another. We have to pray for one another. Intercessory prayer, we talk about that all the time. But here's where the danger lies in our day and age today, because we see so much of it out there. We must be careful, according to the biblical admonition, that we are to choose every day, choose life or death. When it comes to friends, God is telling us, as you interact with other human beings like yourself who have problems, difficulties, ups and downs, and even people in the church of God, when you interface with people in the church of God, be careful, because sometimes people out of your own midst will rise up and go in directions that they shouldn't go. So the Bible is telling us always to be on guard. And what we learn is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, that if we start running from a physical point of view in this world, and this is an admonition to young people growing up, be careful of who your companions are. Again, because who you run with says an awful lot about you. Evil companions corrupt good morals, and good behavior becomes dicey very quick. You see, we live in a world today where, because everybody wants friends, if you don't stop and consider and count the cost of these friendships, then what can happen is that you can expose yourself to things that are not good. Now, there's a lot of people out there running around today claiming all to be God's people. And we have to be careful. Who is God's people? Who are God's people, better put? And the fact, are they obeying the word of God, or are they out there doing their own thing? It's amazing how people want to have God's blessing, but they want to do it their way instead of just doing as God says. And so today, we see many different things running around out there in the name of God, but the results do not comply with what Scripture is teaching us. And therefore, it's important that we be careful. For example, in the world, we have people who, they like to eat. They're called gluttonous people in the Scriptures. And if they're people that like to eat, but they eat in such a way that they don't set the right example, not only for themselves or to their own family. Proverbs 28:7 gives you some information on that. Proverbs 28 and verse 7. Another area that today has really got to be guarded against, there are people outside the church and people sometimes even in the church who are, I call, angry people. They are people who have anger in their hearts. And unless that is gotten rid of, it can corrupt a person terribly. Especially if it's in the church, if you're holding hidden angers in your heart with Passover coming up, that can really spell problems for a church person. For a person in the world today, if you're running around with people who are angry, the Scripture tells you in Proverbs 22:24, that's Proverbs 22, verse 24, be careful lest you learn his ways. Remember, everything you're exposed to, is a learning experience. Where do children pick up some of these things that they say at such an early age, and you sit back as a parent and you say, "Pooh, where did they get that from? They didn't hear it from us." Well, that's when they were watching TV, and they were watching supposedly a family channel. And they watched another young person showing disrespect to parents, and then they did what? They mimicked it. They learned it. They copied it. That goes on constantly. Parents have to use filters on their TVs to make sure that their children growing up are seeing the right kind of programming and not the wrong kind, because they're going to learn, they're going to copy. I always remember one TV commercial that really kind of said it all. It showed a father laying against a tree, lying back on a tree, and he lit up a cigarette. And his little son was sitting next to him. The son looked at his daddy, and then he reached over and picked up a weed, just a piece of grass, and then mimicked daddy like he was smoking. Children learn quickly. That's why our example is so important, that we are setting the right example. You and I are told that when evil is present or we're exposed to it, that we've got to do our best to resist it. We're told in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10 and verse 15 that if sinners entice you, these are people who claim to be your friends, but they're actually sinners because they don't live by God's standard, and they want to get you involved in it. For example, they might say, "What are you? Are you a goody two-shoes or something? Come on, man. Smoke some pot. Learn what life's all about. Have some crack." And how many people have been lured into that trap? And not just people in the world, but people in the church of God. All the different groups that claim to be churches of God are filled with these kind of problems and difficulties. I hope and pray to God it's none of you, and none of you ever exist or have those problems. But God knows who is. I don't have to worry about that, thankfully. It's God who knows what people are doing. The job of the ministry is just to make it be known what we should do. And then the ball is in your court, folks. You are the beloved sons and daughters of God, and He wants you to love one another, not to be hurting, suffering, and hating one another. He wants you to be what He says, wearing the mark that identifies you, the love of the brethren. Because people today, they don't really love each other like they should. And we have to fight that because, again, we're exposed to bad elements constantly. We're also told in Proverbs 14 and verses 1 through 4 that don't eat the delicacies of the wicked. There's health laws that God has given in the scripture that tells you what we should be striving to eat. But today, it's amazing. There's this one gentleman who is, I don't know if he's still alive, but he used to go around the world and eat every kind of unbelievable thing you would see crawling on the face of the earth. I mean, the poor man didn't show any love for his stomach. And he's eating these crazy things. And if you saw ever some of the things that he would put in his mouth, and down it goes, whew, it's scary. But people lean to their own understanding in these things. So sometimes having God for your friend, as you and I are involved, we are called of God. And when you have God as your friend, guess what? Makes it hard for you to have friends in the world. That's why it's so important, our fellowship with one another. Because you can't sit down and talk to the average person in the world. They haven't got this calling yet. So they can't comprehend where you're coming from when you talk about these things. And when you say certain things, they look at you, "Huh? What are you talking about?" And they They consider, well, the vast majority of people are doing it, they must be right. Well, not necessarily, you know. There's a lot of people, more people out there going after socialism and communism in its many different coats today that they're wearing, but we don't believe in that. We believe in the Word of God. So today people do what? They choose to go a different way. Proverbs 31, verse 11. Proverbs 31 and verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that she has no need of spoil. To have a relationship based on love and trust is very important. And what God would want us to keep in mind is that the friends we have create many incidents in our life that we have to deal with. Everyone, as individuals, experience rejection in this world. Everyone wants to be received, but not everyone is received. Jesus suffered rejection. Job experienced rejection of his friends in Job 19:19. And Jesus, his own disciples, fled at a time when he needed them the most. The book of John talks about that in John chapter 13 and verse 1. In Mark 14 and verse 50, they left him. Have we ever left God? Have we ever abandoned him at times? Have we ever gotten to the place where we struggle with certain things that finally we just say, I'm tired of this? Listen, those thoughts keep flying through people's minds all the time. This is why it is so important for us to stay close to God and to keep our perspective, to pick good friends. And the best friends you can have are those who are spiritually committed to the same thing that you're committed to. And you're all walking that same course in life. Psalm 119, verse 63, a companion to all who fear God and keep his laws. We're looking for a person who fears God and keeps his commandments and his laws, because we know that's the right way. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, it tells us we are to walk with the wise, and that will rub off. You'll become wise because you'll learn his ways. But it tells us to avoid the angry man. Why? Because we'll pick up his ways too, and we don't want to do that. So what were we talking about? There are friends waiting with common belief, and they're out there. And we need to pray and ask God to bring them here to us so that we can become their friends. They're hungering for friendship just like you and I are hungering for friendship. And it's wonderful to be able to say, so-and-so is my friend. I don't know if we've really stopped to put a value on this thing of being a friend of God, and ask ourselves, am I a friend of God? Have I behaved like a friend of God? Or am I acting in a direction that labels me differently than a friend of God? God is sorting the hearts of his people before his judgment seat. Things are happening in the world that are going to change dynamically, quickly. It's going to be important that we remember we stand on the promises of God. We can't stand on the promises that are given to us in this world by leaders in this world. They say one thing one day and they turn around and do something else the next. They say, well, we won't do this. The next day they do that very thing. You can't plan. You can't project yourself with confidence for the future. But with God, He changes not. The standard He has laid out, He's laid out for all of us. He's called us in His love and says, I want to be your friend. The answer we have to give, do we want to be God's friend? If we do, we will do what? We will take heed to what God is saying. We will understand that this is a very personal thing as we approach the Passover season. We're striving to walk in the ways of God, but none of us do it perfectly. May God have mercy on all of us, because, again, remember, as we move forward in the plan of God, the adversary is doing what? He is gearing himself. He's gearing himself to attack and try to undo God's purpose at this time. You and I are called to fulfill our destiny. Let's don't drop the ball. Let's keep pressing forward. Let's remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Just keep going forward. God said He would be with us to the very end, just like He would be with Joshua. He just says, be strong and of good courage. He says, I will never fail you. Can we believe Him? He cannot lie. Let's embrace the premises of God and go forward. May God help us all to be better friends than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.